Well, it's a new year, isn't it? What New Year's resolutions did you make? I got up on New Year's Day and declared to Viv that I would trounce her in every game of Yahtzee that we played this year. Now, that wasn't very smart, really, was it? Being a game based on throwing dice. And so I promptly lost the first three games. It wasn't a resolution I had any real control over, but there are some resolutions that we do have some control, where we do have some control, where we need to exercise our will to carry them out, like losing weight or doing more exercise, which many of us try to do at the beginning of every year. Now, I'm going to suggest that in the passage we read today, there are two resolutions we could make, and indeed should make, if we have not already done so, that do require an act of our will to carry them out. Firstly, if we look at the last part of verse 20 in our reading today, Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And the second one is, if we are already a Christian, we're to be active in proclaiming or sharing this message of reconciliation. And the last part of verse 19 says, "He, that is God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation." And then in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." So what does reconciliation mean? It's a big word. Dictionary definitions can include to re-establish a closer relationship between people, to settle or resolve a difference, to make compatible or consistent. And in the teaching of Jesus, to be reconciled means to seek for and receive forgiveness from the wrong party. Now, this will ultimately mean a restoration of a relationship with God. And God is in the business of relationships. Now, these definitions are inferring two things when we look at being reconciled to God. One, that at a time, sometime, mankind did have a perfect relationship with him when we were perfect beings before Adam and Eve defied God. But on the other hand, we are or were alienated from God. We are or were enemies of God. We did not have at some time we did not have a proper relationship with him. So to be reconciled to God, the root cause of this enmity needs to be dealt with. When God created us, there was perfect harmony. But then we went our own way and did our own thing, which is what God calls sin. And this sin needs to be dealt with. So that relationship with God can be restored. So let us look at these two, what we might be able to call resolutions: to be reconciled to God and to proclaim or share this message of reconciliation. So firstly, why? Why be reconciled to God? Why be brought back to a right relationship with him? The last three words of our reading perhaps really shed some light on that. At the end of verse 2 of chapter 6, a day of salvation. This is implying there is something to be saved from, or there will be consequences. We need to be saved from the consequences of rejecting God in our lives, or living a life controlled by ourselves rather than by God, our Creator, because that is what keeps us apart from God. Well, should we be worried about those consequences? Well, yes. God does take this rebellion rather seriously. He said in the Old Testament, and it continued on, he will not leave our sin unpunished. And he says it is punishable by death. In Romans 3 we read, "For the penalty of sin is death." That death is an eternity where you would be consciously separated from God, separated from the love and goodness that only He can give. Can you imagine that? Yes, we do need to find that salvation. We do need to be reconciled to God. So how then can we be reconciled to Him? Do we just turn over a new leaf? Is that how we deal with this sin that separates us? No, but we do become new people. Our lives will change. As Howard and as Julie read this morning and spoke from this morning, it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We become new creatures when we are reconciled with God. And so do we do this in our own strength? If we look at verse 18, it says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the message, ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ." Our salvation is from God and in Jesus. In fact, God offers this salvation to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, God doesn't count our sin that does need to be dealt with against us. The penalty that is due to us is taken away. So how does that happen? And verse 21 says, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus became the sacrifice for us. He took our place by taking on Himself our sin, so that we could become right with God, so we can be reconciled to Him. And if we go back to verse 14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Paul is convinced that one person, that is Jesus, died for all, and in effect, all of us died with Him. He took our place on the cross. He became sin for us. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. And as we read last week, if you were here, from John's Gospel, the Lamb of God, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So does that mean that if Jesus died for us, then we're all automatically saved? Well, verse 15 says, "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." Even though Jesus died for all, a response is required from us. We acknowledge what Jesus has done, and as we do that, it is expected that we will now live for Jesus. Live for Him and not for ourselves. If we are genuine in our response, that is, we acknowledge our sin, we turn to God in repentance and accept His forgiveness, our lives will be transformed. And again, that verse 17 says, we will be a new creation. The old life will have gone and a new life will begin. So when do we take up this offer of reconciliation, this offer to restore our relationship with God? Can we put it off? Can we say, "I've got a few other things to do now. I'll worry about God a little further down the track"? Do we have that luxury? Do you have the luxury to put off restoring any relationship that's important to you? There is a sense of urgency about it. And in verse 24, the last half of that, Paul implores us on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. As an illustration of that, I've had a difficult relationship with a member of my family over the past 40 years. Many attempts have been made over these years to restore that relationship. And it is better now than it has been. But that person has not visited me despite being asked many times. And now, even if he wanted to, age has caught up with him and he doesn't travel anymore. Time for that has run out. So with our personal earthly relationships, we don't have forever to restore our, we don't have forever, and to restore our relationship with God, we also do not have forever. And again, back to that, the end of verse 2, it says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, now is the day of salvation. This is the period of time that God has set aside for us to be reconciled to him. He has a plan for mankind. It began with Jesus dying on the cross and then rising again and going to heaven where he's preparing a place for us. But he's coming back for those who believe. Now when this happens, that will end this time of God's favour, this time of God's grace when he reaches out to us. The door will then be closed. And we don't really know when that's happened. We're not told in the Bible when Jesus is coming back. Nor do we know how long we have to live. Life may be shorter than what we planned. It could be today, or next year, or next century. But if we want to spend eternity with God in heaven, then we need to be ready now, to act now. This verse, indeed the whole passage, has a sense of urgency about it. So now is the time to be reconciled to God. Now is the accepted time, as other translations say, now is the day of salvation. Have you made that decision before today to be reconciled with God? If not, then I plead with you as Paul did and as Paul would have when he was walking here on this earth. So we've looked at why, how, and when we should be reconciled to God. But secondly, why proclaim this message of reconciliation? Well, we could say for the points above, but let's see what the passage has to say. Here Paul justifies why he exercises this ministry of reconciliation. We're challenged to do the same. If we go back, actually a couple of verses back from the reading that we had this morning, from verse 9, it's Paul saying there, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And then verse 11 says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Firstly, it's out of reverential fear of God. Not that Paul's scared of God, but he wants to please him. He wants to be in a good standing with God for when he comes again. He will be able to confidently stand then before him. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This was one way Paul was motivated to persuade men, although not really the most important, and it's also one way that we too can be motivated to proclaim this message. But another is found in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Now Paul had experienced in his life what God had done for him. He knew that God's love reached out to him, even though he was persecuting and killing believers, even though he openly hated God, or hated Jesus anyway, and this person who was going around saying lots of different things, or had been. But God reconciled Paul to himself. This love that God had for him, that he recognized that God had for him, compelled him, because he now knew that Jesus died for not only the whole world, but for him personally. What better motivation could we have than that, than to dwell on what God has done for us? As Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. when we think on what God has saved us from and saved us to, how can we not share this message with others? Now, another reason to proclaim this message is that God has given us a job to do. If we go to verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. He has given us this message, and we are to take it as ambassadors to the world around us. Now, if you think of what an ambassador is, if there's many ambassadors in Canberra, in Australia, they represent and speak for their countries. And also the Governor General represents the Queen. And so Paul, and indeed all Christians, represent and speak for and are entrusted with God's good news of salvation, God's good news of reconciliation. In Romans 10 we read, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God appeals to everyone to come to him, and it is as if he is making that appeal through us. So we've seen why. Now how? We've seen why we should proclaim this message of reconciliation. Now how should we proclaim it? Well, we can proclaim it with authority. Paul has said in chapter 4 of the 2 Corinthians, in verse 13, he says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. And in Timothy we read, all scripture is inspired by God. We can share the gospel and quote from scripture with confidence because we know the words of Jesus are true. And we also know that this salvation is true in our own lives, and we know that it comes from God. And we are to proclaim it so that people can understand. And we can see that in verses 11 to 13, or the last part of 11. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Paul says that what he is plain to God, and he trusts it is plain to everyone. But sometimes as he expresses his feelings and love for God, that is, what is in his heart, he may appear to be out of his mind. But he says that really is for God's eyes only. That's between him and God in a personal and a quiet time. His aim when speaking to others is to make sense so that they can understand. Now you may think, how can I do that? You may not feel as capable or confident as Paul the Apostle or any speaker who stands up here, say for instance, and speaks. You may think you're not sufficiently educated, but this message has been committed to everyone. It may be as simple as telling someone what Jesus means to you, or sharing with someone a simple outline of the gospel message, like we're using a little while ago in learning the two ways to live. We can also proclaim the gospel with enthusiasm. When you talk about persuading men, when you're being compelled by love and you implore people on Christ's behalf, you can see an element of enthusiasm there, can't you? You have this great message of God's love. and to be effective in sharing it, we can't but help being enthusiastic and passionate about it. And when should we proclaim it? Again, we see a sense of urgency. We should proclaim it now. Just as now is the time to be reconciled to God, now is the time to share the gospel of Jesus with our friends, our acquaintances, our neighbours, our family. The window will not always be open. Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Now, many years ago, I remember when someone had died suddenly and unexpectedly in their 50s. And a good friend of his was quite devastated by that. And in despair, he expressed to me that he had not really talked to him about Jesus. He had not really challenged him about his relationship with God. But now, he said, it was too late. He'd put that time off. And we are, aren't we, often tend to procrastinate about sharing the gospel with others. And verse 1 of chapter 6 says, among other things, that as Paul is working together with God in this great mission, he then urges each of us to get on with it and do the same. It says there, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Now is the time to be reconciled to God. Now is the time to be actively telling people. Well, we've looked at being reconciled to God. We've looked at sharing this message of reconciliation. And we talked about these two possible resolutions that we can make. Firstly, then, the question is, do you want to be reconciled to God if you are not already a follower of him? If so, are you prepared to accept that God has made it possible to be reconciled to him through the death and resurrection of Jesus? If the answer is yes, then I encourage you to acknowledge that your sin is separating you from God and to then repent of your sin, to hand it over to him, and to then live the rest of your life for him and with him. And secondly, are you prepared to take up the challenge of telling others about Jesus? I encourage you to do that too, as Paul did to the church in Corinth. We have this wonderful message of salvation. And people without that, people without knowing God, have this an alternative that doesn't bear to think about. So let's share it confidently, with authority, and with passion. We began talking about resolutions, so let's not put these resolutions off another day. Let's come to Jesus. Let's be reconciled to him, be reconciled to God, and then go out and tell others about him. Amen.